could hear him through my helmet as well as in my earphones. Before my eyes, the front section of the gondola tore away with a horrifying, grinding, ripping sound, carrying Waller and the technicians with it. They screamed, terrified, high-pitched wails that shrieked in my earphones. The front end broke entirely free and flashed past my horrified eyes, tumbling end over end, spilling the spacesuited figures out into the open, empty air.
"Save me!"
one of them screamed, a shriek so strained and piercing I couldn't tell which of them uttered it. I saw a body thump down onto Lucifer below us. It missed the catwalk and slid off into oblivion, howling madly all the time. I could hardly stand up. My knees were so watery. Rodriguez, pressed in behind me in the airlock, whispered, "Jesus, Mary, and Joseph." The screams went on and on, like red-hot ice picks jammed into my ears. Even after they stopped, my head rang with their memory.
"They're dead," Rodriguez said, his voice hollow.
"All of them,"
said Marguerite, quavering, fighting back tears. "And so will we be," Duchamp's voice crackled, "if we don't get down those tethers right now." The ship was bucking violently now, heaving up and down in a wild pitching motion. The wind tore at us from the gaping emptiness where the nose of the gondola had been. A ridiculous thought popped into my mind. We didn't need the airlock now. We could jump out of the ship through the jagged open end of the gondola. I could hear Rodriguez panting hard in my earphones. At least I assumed it was Rodriguez. Marguerite was there, too, and I thought Duchamp had to be on her way down to us by now. "Go on!" Rodriguez yelled as if the suit radios weren't working. "Down the tether!" If I had thought about it for half a millisecond, I would have been so terrified I'd have frozen up, paralyzed with fear. But there wasn't any time for that. I grabbed the tether with both gloved hands.
"The servo motors will hold you," Rodriguez said. "Loop your boots in the line to take some of the load off your arms, like circus acrobats."
I made a clumsy try at it, but only managed to tangle the tether around one ankle. The servo motors on the backs of the gloves clamped my fingers on the line, sure enough. All I had to worry about was making a mistake and letting go of the blasted line with both hands at the same time. Down I went, hand over hand. Falling. It was hard work, clambering down that swaying, slithering line of connected tethers. Drenched in cold sweat, my heart hammering in my ears, I tried to clamp my boots around the line to take some of the strain off my arms, but that was a clumsy failure. I inched down the line, my powered gloves clamping and unclamping slowly like an arthritic old man's hands. Lucifer seemed to be 1,000 kilometers below me. I could see the end of the connected tethers dangling a good 10 meters or more above the catwalk that ran the length of the ship's gas envelope. It looked like 100 meters to me. 1,000. When I got to the end of the line, I'd have to jump for it. If I made it to the end of the line. And all the while I crawled down the length of tethers, I kept hearing the terrified, agonized screams of the crewmen who fell to their deaths. My mind kept replaying that long, wailing, "Save me," over and over again. What would I scream if I missed the ship and plunged down into the fiery depths of inescapable death?
"Send the others down," it was Fuchs's heavy, harsh voice in my earphones. "Don't wait. Get started now."
"No," Marguerite said.
I could sense her struggling, hear her breathing hard.
"Wait."
But Rodriguez said firmly, "No time for waiting. Now." I looked up and saw another figure start down the tethers. In the spacesuit, it was impossible to see who it was, but I figured it had to be Marguerite. She was coming down the line a lot faster than I, her boots gripping the tether expertly. Had she told me she'd done mountain climbing? I couldn't remember. Foolish thought at that particular moment. I tried to go faster and damn near killed myself. Let go of the line with one hand, then missed my next grab for it while my other hand was opening. There's a delay built into the servo motors that control the glove's exoskeletons. You move your fingers and the motors resist a little, then kick in. My glove's fingers were opening, loosening my grip on the tether when I desperately wanted them to tighten again. There I was, one hand flailing free and the other letting go of my grip on the tether. If I hadn't been so scared, I would have thrown up. I lunged for the line with my free hand, caught it,
and closed my fingers as fast and hard as I could. I thought I heard the servo motors whining furiously, although that must have been my imagination, since I'd never heard them before through the suit and helmet. I hung there by one hand, all my weight on that arm and shoulder for what seemed like an hour or two. Then I clasped the tether with my other hand, took the deepest breath I'd ever made in my life, and started down the tether again.
"Where's my mother?"
I heard Marguerite's fear-filled voice in my earphones. "She's on her way," Rodriguez answered. But when I looked up, I saw only their two figures clambering down the tethers. Hesperus was a wreck, jouncing and shuddering above us, falling apart. The gas envelope was cracked like an overcooked egg. The gondola was half gone, its front end torn away, new cracks zigzagging along its length even as I watched. The bugs from the clouds must have made a home for themselves in the ship's metal structure. Well, I thought grimly, they'll all roast to death when she loses her last bit of buoyancy and plunges into the broiling heat below. Then I caught a vision of Hesperus crashing into Lucifer, and wondered how long Fuchs would keep his ship hovering below us.
"Hurry it up!" he called, as if he could read my thoughts.
Marguerite was sobbing openly. I could hear her over the suit radio. Rodriguez had gone silent except for his hard panting as he worked his way down the tether. They were both getting close to me. And Duchamp was still in the ship. On the bridge, I realized, working to hold the shattered Hesperus in place long enough for us to make it to safety. But what about her safety?
"Captain Duchamp," I called, surprised that my voice worked at all. "Leave the bridge and come down the safety tether. That's an order."
No response.
"Mother!"
Marguerite sobbed.
"Mama!"
She wasn't coming. I knew it with the certainty of religious revelation. Duchamp was staying on the bridge, fighting to hold the battered wreck of Hesperus in place long enough for us to make it to safety. Giving her life to save us. To save her daughter, really. I doubt that she cared a rat's hiccup for the rest of us. Maybe she had some feelings for Rodriguez. Certainly not for me. And then I was at the end of the tether line. I dangled there, swaying giddily, my boots swinging in empty air. The broad expanse of Lucifer's gas envelope still seemed an awfully long way off, a long drop. All my weight, including the weight of my spacesuit and backpack, was hanging from my hands. I could feel the bones of my upper arms being pulled slowly, agonizingly, out of my shoulder sockets like a man on the rack. I couldn't hang on for long. Then I saw three spacesuited figures climbing slowly up the curving flank of the massive shell. They looked like toys, like tiny dolls, and I realized just how much bigger Lucifer was than Hesperus. Enormously bigger. Which meant that it was also much farther away than I had first guessed. It wasn't 10 meters below me. It must have been more like 100 meters. I couldn't survive a jump that long. No one could. I looked up. Through my bubble helmet I saw Marguerite and Rodriguez coming down the line toward me, almost on top of me. "What now?" I asked Rodriguez. "It's too far to jump." Before he could answer, Fuchs's voice grated in my earphones.
"I'm bringing Lucifer up close enough for you to reach. I can't keep her in position for long. So when I say jump, you either jump or be damned. Understand me?"
"Understood," Rodriguez said.
"Okay."
The broad back of Lucifer rose toward us, slowly moving closer. The three space-suited figures were on the catwalk now, laying out long coils of tethers between them. We were getting tantalizingly close, but each time I thought we were within a safe jumping distance, Hesperus bobbed up or sideways and we were jerked away from Lucifer. My arms were blazing with pain. I could hear Rodriguez mumbling in Spanish, perhaps a prayer, more likely some choice curses. I looked up again and saw that Hesperus was barely holding together. The gondola was cracked in 100 places. The gas shell above it was missing pieces like an uncompleted jigsaw puzzle. The only thing in our favor was that the air was thick enough down at this level to be relatively calm. Relatively. Hesperus was still jouncing and fluttering like a leaf in a strong breeze. Marguerite's sobbing seemed to have stopped. I supposed that she finally understood her mother was not coming and there was nothing she could do about it. There would be plenty of time to mourn after we had saved our own necks, I thought. When your own life is on the line, as ours were, you worry about your own skin and save your sentiment for everyone else for later.
"Now!"
Fuchs's command shattered my pointless musings.
I was still dangling a tremendous distance from